I'm delighted to welcome Valerie Friedlander to the Positively Living podcast. Valerie is a certified life coach and energy leadership master practitioner. She specializes in helping high-achieving women with children to reach their personal and professional goals with greater ease and enjoyment. In addition to her coach training, Valerie draws on her studies in sociology, neuroscience, addiction recovery, and spiritual discernment to support her clients in reducing patterns of stress and anxiety while increasing focus, follow-through, and fun in all areas of their life. She and I have had many conversations together over the years and have collaborated in a variety of ways. We worked together when she was in search of a way to become more efficient and purposeful with her time, and she needed to overhaul her calendar to properly balance her booming life coaching business with her roles as wife and mom to two elementary school kiddos. I was honored to be her productivity coach and to work with her to elevate what she was achieving. It was a great reminder to both of us that seeking help through coaching isn't necessarily about fixing things or an indicator of what you're doing wrong, but instead a way to explore and design and highlight what works and make a path for you to succeed. Valerie was kind enough to share her gratitude story in my gratitude group and invited me as a guest on her YouTube channel to discuss using gratitude to motivate growth. I'll link to that episode so you can view it after you listen to today's chat. She also mentions my trailer episode because so much of what I say she believes as well. I love efficiency, so I like that she can point to that to explain what she's about as well. Based on that alone, I know you won't be surprised when I tell you Valerie and I overlap in our approaches and perspective on coaching and transformation. We both believe in the power of being curious and embracing the difficult parts of life. She is such a phenomenal combination of nerdy and woo, and I love witnessing how her mind works. So I knew she was the right choice to tackle today's topic, toxic positivity. Toxic positivity is the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy and optimistic state. The phrase was startling to me when I first heard it. It sounds like an oxymoron, right? But when I thought about it, it was one of those things I recognized, I just didn't have a name for it. It's where you are being told you can only be positive, and your gut response is anything but, and you end up feeling confusion and shame and anger and probably resentment too. And the thing intended to help does anything but. And that's what makes it toxic. It takes away our permission to explore, to get messy. And most importantly, to learn and to heal. All this from something considered positive. I mean, literally positive. This is not the only instance where this happens. There are things in our life that can be so healthy for us that can turn poisonous, like something as innocuous as water. It reminds me of the old adage, the dose makes the poison. Although I much prefer Oscar Wilde's everything in moderation, including moderation, but that doesn't apply here today. Today, Valerie and I explore the excessive dose of positivity and why we as a society try to dole it out this way. We shine a light onto the icky parts of life, the wholeness of life, and the seasons. We talk about the cycles of change and how we can change confrontation to conversation. She also mentions the X-Men and the Lord of the Rings, in case you had any uncertainty left as to why I love talking to her. We also discuss how our perspective shapes us and how we see the world. As Anais Nin says, we see the world not as it is, but as we are. I like what Stephen Covey adds to this concept by saying it's not only how we are, but how we're conditioned to see it. I hope you enjoy your time with Valerie as much as I have. Please be sure to find her online and download her free stress quiz, which is really a stress and personality quiz. This is great timing since last week's episode of the Positively Living podcast covers stress, helping us understand it better and why we need to manage it. If you haven't heard it yet, I encourage you to go back and listen. You'll see why Valerie's gift is such a valuable tool for your connections and conversations. You're listening to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Zarotny, founder of Positively Productive Systems, and a coach certified in time and stress management, helping clients make space for what matters most in their lives. Join me each episode and we'll talk about decluttering, stress management, habits, personalized productivity, gratitude, and so much more. I understand the overwhelm of life because I'm a wife, mom to kids and cats, and a former caregiver. I'm here to help you choose what's right for you so you can do less, live more, and breathe easier. Sound good? Let's get to it. Valerie Friedlander, welcome to the Positively Living Podcast. I am so excited to have you on today because I don't remember how many times we've had a conversation where we thought we should record this.
Every time.
Many, many times. And so I am thrilled to share you with the Positively Living audience.
I'm excited to be here.
Yay. And I would love for you to start with the more unofficial, telling us who you are, who you help, and what makes you light up.
Ooh. Okay. So as I was saying before we started, I was listening to your intro. And if anybody's here, like who hasn't listened to the first short little episode of your podcast, I highly recommend it. It's just so fabulously put together. And I was thinking, is this me? That doesn't sound like me. So I'm a certified life coach with over 20 years of experience doing discernment work, both on a spiritual level, but also like the science. So like, I mean, everything I say is going to be like, just go listen to that first episode. We're twinsies. I love merging the science and the spiritual. I think they go very much hand in hand. And so I pull from understanding the way the brain works, understanding the way patterns in society work. So I just... what lights me up is like talking about patterns and understanding patterns and engaging patterns and shifting patterns. Most of the people who I work with are women with children who are wanting to make an impact in the world, who are feeling pulled between the people that they want to nurture in their life and that impact, that playing big, and like there's no balance or even a good flow between those two, like they're opposing forces. And so I love helping them create an alignment between those motivations, those draws in their life to that center in their best self, the light within them that helps them do both of those things in such a powerful way. And so when we create that alignment, they're able to do what they're meant to do here in the world, honor the things that are important to them, and show up the way they want to show up in a way that creates the change that they're looking to make in the world, both for the world, but also for the kids that they're raising into it. So that is my work. And honestly, I would say my work is truly what lights me up, that asking powerful questions and seeing the answers that are revealed. I love it, whether it's with my kids, with my husband, with friends, with clients, those moments where I get, it's like an intuitive hit of this is the question that needs to be answered. And then they do that exploration and they come up with an answer. It's not my answer, it's their answer. And that light goes on in their eyes. And then I just feel so excited. And oftentimes there's a resonance. I love doing group coaching stuff because there always seems to be this like thread that moves through the group where it's like the light bulbs kind of go on. It's like the wave, you know? And that experience is just so amazing. And I often learn a lot from it too, because it's like you said in your intro, it's the questions. And those, when people tap into that intuitiveness, especially women who have learned to block it, there's just such a power to that. And it lights up everyone around you. And it just makes me so excited.
I feel excited listening to you talk about this, and I know it. You're right. I mean, I've described the same things. It's asking those really good questions. But what you're talking about, you're describing the power of coaching, true coaching, when you ask the questions and someone really transforms themselves. I think we talk about empowerment a lot of times. We're not empowering others. They empower themselves, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And so asking those good questions and sharing and collaboration. And I think we as women need to keep this community and this connection and conversation going. So it makes me especially excited that we're talking about these things today. And so you also mentioned, by way of asking those good questions, that you have some kiddos and a husband.
Yes. I do. I do have those. It's a very interesting time right now to have those. We're all kind of on top of each other. So, it's taking a lot of my own tools and a lot of, showing up imperfectly. I was just talking with another mom, kindergarten parent last night, and she's like, I can't remember if she said her kid said this or if her mom said somebody like a mother-in-law or something said this, but like, you're not the mother that I thought you'd be or something like that. And she's like, I'm not the mom I thought I'd be. One, like in general, because you don't know. And two, right now, because we're not it's impossible to be your best self when they're constantly under stress. So you're going to be your best self under stress. Like every moment is a different opportunity to do your best. And your best looks different at different moments, and that's okay. And that's one of the big things that I am trying to remind myself a lot right now.
I think that's a good reminder. And no matter when you're listening to this, that's a good reminder. Right now, as we're recording it, we're still dealing with the various phases of sheltering in place due to COVID-19. And, you know, having everyone together all the time. You know, I've often joked with my kids, I can't miss you if you don't go away. And I love them dearly, but yes, that close proximity, there's a challenge. So I like what you said about your best self. It has to be within the context of whatever is going on. And I think that this is the ideal segue into our topic for today. We've had many things we love to talk about, but this one keeps coming back up. And I'm so glad that we are addressing it. I think it's imperative we talk about it. Toxic positivity. Would you like to share your perception of it, how you define it?
So yes, I see toxic positivity as using the idea of staying positive to ignore the message that's coming from the quote unquote negative. Mm-hmm. I first encountered this concept really, not in that way, but I took a psychology class in, I want to say, eighth grade. I was taught by one of the coaches, like the school coaches. Very weird. Anyway, he was teaching out of the book, and in the book, it had a thing that said emotions are neither positive nor negative. And later on, after that section, we had a quiz on the section, and one of the quiz answers was like, are emotions, or is anger positive, negative, neither? I put neither, because the book said emotions are neither positive nor negative. The coach marked it wrong. He marked it as it should have been negative. And I talked to him afterwards, and I was like, the book says this. So, and he's like, nope, that's wrong. And I was like, okay. But that stuck with me, because I have found over the years, when we put things into a binary, we create boxes for ourselves. We restrict the full spectrum of what we have access to, what we have as a potential in ourselves as human beings. And that's like any binary. And so when this movement of the law of attraction came around, and it was talking about like, think positive, so that you can attract the things that you want. A lot of times people missed that just trying to push the negative stuff away, to push the anger, the disappointment, the sadness, the grief, all those things that don't feel good inside, labeling them as bad. And if we focus on those, then we won't attract what we want. And the problem with that is we learn to push those things down and we don't address the reason that they're there. And this was particularly bothersome to me because I grew up in a home that was impacted by alcoholism. Hmm. And alcohol was used to push away emotions. There wasn't a lot of flare-ups of anger or anything like that. It was just, we need to avoid those yucky feelings. And when recovery came into the home, there were suddenly emotions and they were big and scary because we didn't, the person who was most primarily focused impact was suddenly having to learn how to deal with emotions that had been avoided for so long. And so I saw in that how toxic only wanting to feel good was and how valuable it is to explore. And of course, into the coaching world, to honor an emotion as information about what's happening for you, the way you're experiencing something, and emotion as emotion, energy in motion. It needs to move through us. And to move through us, we have to process it. To process it, we have to give it space to process. And so if we don't process it, it sits inside our body and it gets activated and makes outburst, like makes other times where that emotion gets triggered even bigger than it would have been otherwise. It makes it, and it eats us up. It creates there's a book called The Stress Disease Connection by Gabor Mate. And you know, how stress that we don't allow to move through us, those feelings that we don't actually create illness inside our body. So that's what, when I talk about, that's like my history with the concept of toxic positivity and why it's really important to me to address it. Because there's power in those emotions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really important information to be able to grow from those emotions. It's the whole breakdown has to come before the breakthrough. Like, but we don't want the breakdown because it feels so yucky and we don't want to deal with it. And especially if we're told around us that focusing on that is bad, we don't allow that growth to occur.
Yeah. I like what you're saying about this being information and really encouraging us to not be afraid of it. You posted something on Instagram just the other day about, you know, change is hard, right? And I think I was thinking about the reasons. So my perspective on it has been that, you know, I knew deep inside that there was a name for this thing that was happening, that it was like going against my gut, that there's this tendency to hide and dismiss. And then we feel guilty for having the negative emotions. Which, you know, how sad is that? We're already suffering with something. And like you said, it has to go somewhere. It has to work its way through. It may come as an outburst. You can see this, I think, very clearly in children.
Yes.
Right? When they're anxious or they're worried or whatever. And then suddenly they have this outburst where you're like, where did that come from? It came from somewhere. And when we follow the breadcrumbs, we figure that out. But it's the same thing for us. You know, sometimes we just say something simply like we have a short fuse, or, you know, we just don't have the patience to show up for something, but it can feel like it's surprising. But I think there's this tendency, yes, to want to cope in a way where we dismiss, where, well, we want to be happy, right? And mm-hmm. and we don't want to sit with the pain or sit with someone else's pain too. I was talking with another client just today, and we were talking about how people will do this to others in a way, this positivity of like, I think they mean well because they want you to be happy. They want you to get through whatever it is you're going through. And I know it's hard to suffer and to watch someone else suffer.
But it's the crux of codependency and enabling behavior that's not acceptable or appropriate or whatever, is because the pain of someone you care about is so hard to sit with.
And we are not taught how to hold space for that without it coming into us. I work with a lot of highly empathetic people, empathic people even. And I myself, when I was a young person, I used to pride myself in being able to sit next to you and feel what you're feeling. Like that was a superpower. In a lot of ways, it can be a superpower, but if you're not like, it's just like, you know, the X-Men, like if you're not taught how to use your superpower, it can go wreak all kinds of havoc in your life and the people around you.
Yes.
I aspire to be Professor Xavier.
I was just thinking that. Okay. Well, it's not a good podcast episode if you don't mention the X-Men. So I'm... But this is very true. And I think that's a wonderful metaphor, a visual even, to think about, you know, these different characters, different superpowers, and this concept of absorption, right? And absorbing others. And also, too, there's something in there that's coming to my mind about how we really need to be able to process these things, but to have that hurt, to acknowledge that there needs to be the hurt and the pain and the negative side of it in order to heal. Mm-hmm. I think that's a challenging concept. So I want to encourage that. And it came up for me when I was reading On Grief and Grieving. I bring this back to grief quite a bit. And this idea that every time I would grieve, every time I would cry, I would feel something, it would bring me back to a loss, that was actually a transformative moment for me, a healing moment. And when I was able to sort of reframe that experience, and even though it was hurting deeply, I mean, just through my core, I was thinking, but it has purpose.
Yeah. Yes. I think tapping into a sense of purpose and purposefulness, even if you don't know, like a lot of times we want to know, but why? Like, what is the purpose of this? And sometimes we don't get to know the why until like a while later, which we're such hasty creatures, really. Like when you think humans are very hasty creatures. If you think about the way nature works, it's so much slower. You get nerdy again and think of like Ents, you know, in Lord of the Rings, you know, like don't be hasty. And I try to remember that, like when I want to rush through something that has weight, there are a lot of things that may feel yucky, but they have weight. And if there's weight behind them, there is something to look at. And when we beat ourselves up over that, we exacerbate the weight and we don't actually deal with the purpose or engaging, allowing space for that purpose to unfold.
And it can be challenging to not get to know the purpose. And I do think this ties in what we're being taught as a society. We are being taught to not just appreciate, but seek out instant gratification. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, I can hear people expressing frustration that Amazon Prime is not necessarily working in the 2-day you know, span sometimes that there are changes. I tease about that, but there is this instant feedback that we can get from so many things. And that can be wonderful. We can be on Google in a heartbeat and learn something, and that can be incredible. But there are also the things that take time, and there are also the things that we don't get to learn yet. And we're being taught that it's instant. And if it's not, then it's not okay. So I like that we're having this conversation to, again, say waiting has a purpose too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think about it, like there are a couple things that come to mind of like, well, nobody likes maggots. Maggots are kind of gross, but they do really important work, right? Like they break things down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on a more like fluffy, fun analogy would be like the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Yeah.
We don't want to be like, okay, caterpillar's okay. You know, we're crawling along. Mm-hmm. And then butterfly, Mm-hmm. But no, there is a period between that that is messy and uncomfortable, where the caterpillar encloses itself in a cocoon and literally digests itself. That's kind of gross.
Ew.
And yeah,
as my daughter would say,
ew, super ew.
Yes.
And so, but that it's such a critical component of the process.
Mm.
Of that transformation process.
It's the only way it happens.
It is the only way it happens. And so sometimes we have to have our heart broken. We have to break apart to be able to have the richness of soil to grow new life. Yeah. I even think of it like with femininity. This is, our cycles are very aligned with the earth cycles. And if you think about our biological process of growing a space for new life, mm-hmm. and then it breaks down and comes out, it's kind of gross. It's not very pleasant. Most of us don't love it, but it's a powerful time because it is a release. And then it creates the space for new life to become present. And it is not valued in our society at all. It's often thought of as something you want to avoid and not have. But it's critical for life to exist that we go through that process. And it's a powerful time to pull in and reflect. And when we don't give ourselves the space for that, we can't act as powerfully because we didn't allow for that phase of, and this ties to your work, that phase of productivity. Mm-hmm. We label productivity as only the doings and the action and the going and the making. That's one part of productivity. There's another part that involves the processing, the gestating, the compiling, the organizing, the aligning, the planning, and then the action. The action is only one piece of that whole process. And it probably isn't even really the longest piece.
Yeah, frequently not.
So when we do that, we stay in survival mode. When we are constantly in the go mode instead of taking that space to be in that breaking down and processing. It's like the fall. The leaves need to come off the tree and we need to be cold for a little while. And that creates resilience so that we can then step into that next phase of growth where we become taller and broader and we can hold more. And we can provide more oxygen into the atmosphere. Like, how many analogies can I fit into one podcast?
I don't know, but I say we go for it and then call Guinness because this is awesome. No, but this is so true. You're talking about the setup. You're talking about the fact that, you know, and this is something you and I have discussed many times about what the whole idea of things that, you know, society as a whole values versus what we need to be looking at. And one of them is this idea that it's constantly action-based, that our value is in the doing part of it. And it's a challenge to say, but wait, and you're talking about the setup for transformation. This can come from all the things that you so beautifully said. I'm going to have to pull that out of our interview with, you know, the planning and the deciding and things like that is very reminiscent of the decluttering system. I have the simple system where only one portion of it is the actual pulling out of the items and deciding where they're going to go. But first, it's about figuring out who you are, how you want to live, what the space is about, what you want the space around you to be doing, and, you know, creating those filters for our life. And to, you know, there's so much figuring out and processing to do. And then when you do that, the actual action part is frequently much shorter and actually much easier for you, which is sort of the irony that we
much more effective.
Right. We want to eschew these other things, but they're actually what set you up for success.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's one of the things that I love about you and how you do productivity is you have such a a calming, like centering voice and like way of engaging. And you're just like, it sets that tone for being able to be still in the midst of discomfort and go, okay, we are here now. Now what? What is the next indicated step here? And it's just, it's such, such a lovely approach. So unique.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. I've been studying cycles of change on a biolog, like a feminine biology level, earth cycles, and then just ways we think about, and they all very much align in this process of, you know, the spring where we start to bring in the buds of new things and experiment and try, and there's this possibility, this space of possibility, and then we hit that summertime with the forest lovers and the you know, very sexy energy and just like power and brightness and intensity. And then we move into the fall where it's like, oh, things are changing. We're releasing things. Maybe the actions that we took maybe didn't happen exactly the way we expected them to. And we need to take a step back and let go of some of those things and pull in some of those other things, harvest the knowledge. And then we move into the winter where we sit with that information and we center and we allow things to move within us and listening deeply. And then we move into that space of possibility again. And we start engaging some of those plans that came into our mind as we listened to ourselves and we start the cycle over again. It's very much the way our bodies work as women. Mm-hmm. It is the seasonal cycles, and it's the way that we move through change in the world. And when we don't give that space to that breaking down, the stuff that just is yucky that we don't want to deal with, it becomes a toxic cycle because we bypassed part of that cycle and it doesn't allow us to move forward. So we end up tolerating life instead of living life.
Tolerating life instead of living life. Yes, exactly. And when we don't honor all the parts of the transformation, we are also sending the message to the next generation that these aren't to be honored and processed, that they don't have value. And just like anything else that we, you know, we influence others to consider that something doesn't have value, that can be such a trap.
It hurts everybody.
Yeah.
It hurts everybody because it blocks us from the full richness of a spectrum of living that is valuable and powerful. When we don't embrace the wholeness, and that means, you know, uncomfortable conversations sometimes. A lot of times we've taught to avoid confrontation. It's like, yes. How do you turn confrontation into a conversation where you take your ego out of it so that you can really listen to somebody else and learn? There's a lot of humility in that of, it's not about me. It doesn't need to be about me, but I can learn from it and I can grow from it. And it might make me realize things that I don't like about myself or the way I've been showing up, and I want to do something different. Without those uncomfortable conversations, without taking the time to process that information, we can't grow or do anything different. It doesn't make those things go away. It just means that we're pretending they're not there.
Not healthy.
Not healthy.
So this is a good, I think, connection to the steps that we can take to start embracing, you know, all the sides and the more difficult parts. What you mentioned about, you know, embracing the wholeness and about taking confrontation and changing it to conversation. I really like that. I'd love to leave listeners with some steps that they can take. I think one of them is this idea of, you know, stepping out of yourself to say, okay, this is not about me, especially when you're receiving, you know, or maybe you're inclined to want to make it positive because you're struggling with how you're responding to someone. Mm-hmm. Stepping away and letting them process the negative. Or maybe you're in the negative and someone is coming at you with that toxic positivity, understanding that they're not able to process this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I call it forced helping.
Yes.
Forced weakening, right? Like it's making someone who going through that space can be powerful. Not to say you shouldn't offer help, but allow people to be where they are. You don't want to force weaken them and assume that they aren't able to do things for themselves. I like what you said about the giving space, allowing space, because I think that's the key of it. One of my favorite little sayings is, what you say is about you. What I hear is about me, and vice versa. Because that helps me remember that you can't push a button I don't have. So if I was bothered by that, by something that you said, that has something to do with me. And that's something that where I have power. I don't have power over you. I can't control you. And we get caught up in that, trying to control other people a lot, or feeling like other people are controlling us. That's where I can take my power back and go, okay, what did this bring up for me? What am I believing about myself when this person says this? When you know that you are a valuable, you're a good person. Nobody wants to feel like they're a bad person. So like, if you know you're a good person, like you know that you have value, you can hear other people and you can go, oh, I can do things differently. Just because, and take in that information. So what they're saying is about them, but they may be giving me important information about how I could show up differently. They're upset, they're bothered because of their experience. I can hear that when I take myself out of it and when I don't make it about me, and I hold space for them to have feelings. And then I can go, okay, what do I want to do with that? I hear that they are hurting. I can then say, I'm sorry you're hurting. How can I help? I'll often do this with other people, where I'll say, like, how do you want me to support you? Because I can do that multiple ways. I can show up like a coach. I can show up like a friend. I can, you know, like there's so many.
I can show up with a beverage, you know. Yes. Okay, wait a minute. But yes, exactly. Yes. It's exploring the different ways. Absolutely.
And it doesn't, like, if I want to try and fix it without asking that, then it is about, I've made it about me.
Yes.
Because I feel yucky. Because you feel yucky and I want to fix you. Or you got triggered by something and then I take that personally. And then my inclination is either to run away or fight, you know, defend myself. And that's not necessarily helpful in that either. So holding space, and if I'm not sure, allowing time. I need to run to the bathroom right now. Let's come back to that conversation just a minute. I'll run to the bathroom and like sit with it for a minute, you know, and allow that process to happen. I forgot to walk the dog. Let's come back to that. You know, it's okay to ask for space. I don't know the answer to that yet. I don't know how I want to engage that. Thank you for sharing with me. Yeah. Let's reconvene on this later. You're allowed to ask for space to process instead of feeling forced into it.
Yeah, you're respecting their boundaries. You're also respecting your own. This is so important. And something that I want to bring up that you've mentioned, you've used this word a number of times during our conversation, and I think it's so incredibly important. I want to highlight it, in that all of the things we're experiencing, whether we think, you know, it feels like toxic positivity because there's so much pressure on us, or we're confused about something, or we don't like the ickiness, whatever it is that's going on, this is information. And when it's information, it's something we can process, potentially use, also release. We can do things with it. And most importantly, it brings up something that you and I talk about as coaches all the time, which is staying curious. Mm-hmm. Because when you stay curious, you don't bring in the judgment.
Yep. Curiosity and judgment cannot exist in the same space.
And yay for that, because we have enough judgment flying around.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So true.
So that's fantastic. You're talking about information. So that's what we want. Every time something comes up, when you can see it as information and to think about, yeah, how we're interacting, that makes such a difference. Okay. Fantastic. I think this is the perfect timing to go into what I like to call the rapid wrap up. A little bit of fun, a little bit of deep thought. The first is fill in the blank, the song that always makes me dance.
So right now, that song has got to be, and you probably will know the title of it. I think it's Other Side, but it's one of the songs in The Greatest Showman.
Ooh, okay. I love that soundtrack.
And it's the one that, oh God, I'm gonna, yeah. It's so catchy. Don't you wanna get away?
Yes.
Da, 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 got what you need. Da, 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 da. Take you to the other side. I always wanna do the grapevine to that song because he does it on the, on the counter in that movie. I just watched it with my kids and they loved it. And we'd done a dance class, one of the virtual dance classes, and we'd learned the grapevine. And when we watched the movie and I was like, "Hey, look, it's the grapevine." So I've been totally listening to that song. It's so catchy. And like, I just want to do the grapevine all the time.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic soundtrack. A Million Dreams is like one of my, if I want to pump myself up and just like change the world. So awesome. All right. Yeah. Next is, the quote or mantra I probably share most often is,
I think it was probably the one that I just shared of like, you can't push a button I don't have.
I love that one. It's that is a good reminder. I need to like write that and post it somewhere very close. Yes. You can't push a button I don't have.
It gives me my power back. It's like, oh, okay. So a button got pushed. What am I believing about? How do I feel? Like, what am I believing about myself that this, or the, you know, what happened? Yep. And that gives me information about, okay, so how do I want to engage that? It just gives me, it accesses choice.
Yes, accesses choice. I like that. Okay. And then one of my biggest life lessons.
You know, if I have any lessons.
No, it's not about lessons. Positive vibes only, people. I'm kidding. see what I did there? Uh-huh. One of my biggest life lessons came from event person. What do you think?
I'm going to say, especially in this season of my life, my mother. And really both my parents, it was knowing that you can't control how your children interpret what's going on around them. Mm. And I mean, you can try, you can do your best, but like they're thinking through very different brains than you are as an adult. And it's very hard to remember the way you think as a child, once you have an adult brain. And that they were certainly not perfect in any way. Like there were good things. There were things that were helpful, but I took a lot of things they probably wished that I hadn't taken and learned a lot of things they probably wish I hadn't learned, but I'm pretty happy with who I am. And so even with those things that maybe I'm not showing up as the mom that I wanted to show up in every moment, you know, like we started out this chat with of it, I may look and go, oh, dang it. That was not, you know, they are in charge of their life and they will take what they will with it. And they're getting what they need from me to grow into the people that they are here to be and to learn what they are here to learn. And most of that is up to them.
Mm. Yes, that is so good. Mamas, take that to heart. That is that's one of the best lessons you can take away. I know when we feel like, are we screwing up? The minute you're asking yourself that question, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. So.
No, and it ties to that toxic positivity of like, I can look at that and go, what do I want to do next time?
Exactly.
But it's not about them. It's about how I feel about how I'm showing up. Yeah. The universe has their back. They'll be okay. Just got to do my best in each moment.
That's it. Good. And then lastly, what or whom are you grateful for today?
Grateful for you.
Oh, right back at you. It's such a self-serving question when I ask that. I'm like, me, no.
But for so many reasons, truly. I always love our conversations. There's a richness to them that I just adore, and I get so much out of them. And I'm excited to be able to share them, and I'm grateful for your podcast as a space for that to be present, both for me and for everybody else that gets to hear your wonderful thoughts and being.
Oh, I'm so humbled by that. Thank you. And I am so grateful for you that you would come and share this wisdom that you have. And you talk about richness. I mean, the experiences that you have and how you explore things. And I love just watching your mind at work and your heart and how you connect the two. So, and speaking of which, you're always so generous, but even more so, I know that you have something you'd love to offer listeners, and we'd love to know where we can find you online. So would you please let us know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you can find me online on my website, which is valeriefriedlander.com. Mm-hmm. I have created a little quiz because everybody is different in terms of the way they process stress. And I think we often forget that, both for ways to nurture ourselves. When we get into stress mode, we kind of, the blinders go on and we go into autopilot. Yes. Instead of necessarily being able to do the thing that's going to be most helpful and supportive of us. So to be able to see, to create space and think in a bigger way, we need to release some of that stress. And so I created a quiz to help you find your best stress strategy, mm-hmm. whether it's mind, you know, thinking, physical, spiritual, emotional, like what kind of tools or tactics might you find most helpful? And then also for the people around you who may have a different way of processing stress, it's very easy to misinterpret their way of processing stress.
Mm-hmm.
So once you do the quiz, you can grab my little printout that helps you see like how these things might show up in other people so that you can engage in a productive way instead of in a way that kind of snowballs.
It's like a personality stress quiz. This is excellent. Yeah, that's good. I like that a lot because we need, again, that information so that we can step forward and keep the communication, you know, and make it effective. Okay, great. And any social media where you like to hang out?
Yes, I hang out a lot on Facebook and on Instagram. Facebook, you can find me on my page at The Unlimited Mom. And on Instagram, you can find me at Valerie Friedlander.
Okay. And I'll make sure we'll have all the links in the show notes to these places where you can find Valerie. Thank you for sharing your light and your gifts with us today. I so appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
We see the world not as it is, but as we are. Anais Nin. Thank you for joining me on the Positively Living Podcast. Your time is precious, and I'm honored you chose to spend it with me. If you'd like more information on today's show, you can find a link to the show notes on positivelyproductive.com/podcast. If you found value in the show, please click subscribe, and even better, give a quick review on iTunes. It supports me and will help others find the show. If you'd like more positive content, come join me on social media, Positively Productive on Facebook, and Positively_Lisa on Instagram. Get ready for kids, cats, and all my quirky humor over there. I look forward to having you join me next episode. Until then, keep it positive and keep making space for what matters most.